Test.
Hello.
Test.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay.
I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's surely the moment that I don't wanna miss. And what I'm trying to say, well, I don't know, but I thought it was important just a minute ago. What I'm dying to say can't even be bought, cause I lost my ticket on the train of thought.
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 20 of Comic Pop Library. This is Richard, along with
Chris,
Matt,
April,
Logan.
And this time around, we're going to be reviewing John Campbell's Who Goes There, which was adapted into the first movie, The Thing from Another World, from 1938. No, excuse me, the book was 1938, and the movie was from 51.
You're going to get that right once.
True.
It would have been nice if it was then. No, I'm kidding.
Things happen.
Yeah.
We're gonna.
Yeah, that's good.
That was pretty good.
We are going to be concentrating on these two for the first part of this episode. The second part, we are going to talk about John Carpenter's The Thing from 1982, and
its prequel from 2011.
The prequel from 2011. I can't remember the director's name on that. Can one of you guys, Matt, you or Chris?
Wikipedia to save the day.
But we will be discussing all four, but we'll be concentrating on the short story and the 51 movie in this episode. On the 21st episode, we'll concentrate on the last two movies. Hey, Chris is still working. Vamp. Who wants to say something?
Oh, I don't know. We want to get started?
Wasn't Chris talking? Didn't nobody actually attack anybody in the first one?
You gotta stay close.
It just infected them?
That's attacking
about the
them.
Book?
No, infecting them, not attacking. Completely different things.
Really?
Are we talking about the book?
Yes.
Would you feel attacked if someone infected you?
So if somebody coughs right next to you in a room, do you consider that an attack?
Well, I haven't gotten sick, have I? You didn't infect me.
You know, I watched a guy.
Brother, if sister. You get sick by it.
I watched a guy get beat up for using a spray bottle to pretend like he was sneezing on the back of somebody's neck.
That was actually a hilarious video, but... Nothing to do with the podcast, but
it's illegal to spit on sidewalks in my town. Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
The ordinance.
Some old lady got really mad about it, so she went up to whoever makes the laws for our town, and they made it a law.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Chris has no information, so let's just hit the book.
Anyway, let's pause for a moment for a quick spot that we have here for Dodge City Public Library.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. As we understand, there might be some fans of nonfiction materials in CPL land. So, why not head over to www.dcpl.info and check out our podcasts. We have the nonfiction fix you've been looking for. Every month, Michael, our public service librarian, and I review a nonfiction book or other item for you to consider reading or adding to your collection. So, if you love the land of black and white informative materials, head on over and check us out. By the way, Michael thinks he's a different fictional character in every episode. No guessing what he'll be next month. You know, I forgot what I was looking up.
Hipkinen. The director of the 2011 movie, Hipkinen, Richard.
I think I might have forgotten, too.
You know what? Don't worry about it. No one's going to care. You can't even pronounce his name anyway.
Okay.
Oh, what's it spelled? What's it spelled?
M-A-T-T-H-I-J-S Vaughn H-E-I-J-N-I-N-G-E-N Jr.
Matthewness.
forget it.
Hold on.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
Anyway.
But just on a interesting note, John Campbell Jr. helped write this story.
Oh, for the 2011 one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
I can see that.
Yeah, we'll get more into that in the next podcast. But
along with Eric Heiser.
All about the errs. I believe Richard has a couple emails we have gotten that he would like to read and respond to.
Van Hinken Jr.
It does not.
Okay, forget it.
Matter.
Don't worry about it. Let's go.
Yeah, no clue.
You sent them on a task. You wanted to finish it. Yes, we did get a couple of emails from a few episodes back. I think it was 16.5 with KLA conference interviews. We said we would read the emails once we got them, so we'll be.
Are these anonymous emails, or are we changing the name?
Apparently, Richard cannot work an iPad.
Want some help?
Earlier. Yeah.
Just use it's a Mac, so I understand.
Just use the username without the
and
website.
And click the other one. Nice, Chris. Now try it.
I'll try it. Now I got to find them again. That's the fun part.
Mm-hmm. All right, email number one.
We did get a couple of interviews from our episode 16.5. This was the episode where I did the Kansas Library Association interviews. I believe it's 16.5. I'd have to go back and double check to be sure, but I'm pretty sure it was. The first one was from Joe, and I'm going to paraphrase hers for the most part. She wanted to say it was a pleasure to talk with me, but she did have problems with the connection with listening to the podcast. It was cutting in and out on her. And I did send her an email back apologizing for that. I tried it out on Explorer, Firefox, both through iTunes and our website, and it was doing fine. Did you guys have any problems?
I didn't have any issues with
listening
to it. Chris,
sorry,
did you
Joe.
Even try it?
No one could repeat the error.
So I apologize, Joe. Hopefully, if you were able to get back in there, it worked for you the second time around.
And it was 16.5.
Cool. We got it right. One of the first times, I think. No. The second one is on the same episode, 16.5 again, from Wendy. Hers was, nice job with the interviews. Didn't mean to bail on you. I thought you were finished with me. What happened there was she had somebody come up and wanted to talk with her, so it was perfectly understandable, Wendy. No problem at all. But she also wanted to say thanks for the opportunity to share information about Friends of the Kansas Libraries with your audience. And again, not a problem. And in the future, next year, I think we plan on taking the recorder with us again and trying to do some more interviews. So we might be talking to some other individuals or some of the same people to see what's happening in the next year.
Am I going to go?
Probably not. You've got school.
Well, where is
it'll be
this?
In October next year.
October in Topeka.
Oh, I don't want to go to Topeka.
You don't like Topeka?
There's nothing to do in Topeka.
You can go. Well, we go to classes when we're there, so you can join us in classes if you like.
You know what? I'd have to agree with her, because the only thing I found to do in our hotel room that was interesting was find...
Where are we going with this?
Miscellaneous stains, unidentifiable stains, to take pictures of and post on Facebook.
Our experience at the hotel was horrible.
And we've been informed we're staying at the same hotel.
Well, I'm assuming
not thrilled Topeka Hotel.
I'm assuming
not
those
name
stains were from the previous users.
Yes.
Really?
Thanks, Richard. Yeah. Nothing I like more than uncleansed room.
But no, it was nice to get those emails. Please send more. We enjoy getting them. You can email us at admin@comicpoplibrary. Also, if you have any suggestions for us to review anything, you can send that to suggestions@comicpoplibrary.com.
Do you know what? I'm surprised I haven't gotten an email saying we need to review newer sci-fi stuff, because I've only been doing the classics.
We can review Being Human.
Yeah, talk to Matt on that one.
Yeah, he's the show.
Too. I love that show.
I know, it's awesome.
I got my wife addicted
my
to it.
My mom hates it.
We're on the second disc of the set right now.
Yeah, there's
season.
Three seasons.
So that might come
I think
later
there's
on.
Seasons.
Does Hulu have that?
Don't know. All right, on to the book.
Okay.
Thanks for those emails, guys, and we encourage you to send us more.
Ditto.
Ditto. Nice. This is going to be bad.
Way to lead in.
I did all that before we went to how do I shut this thing off? It's just hear me say admin and suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
But to get back to Chris's
I'm just thinking.
Suggestions.
Thinking. Them.
To make a comment, Chris asked about we haven't received emails about suggestions about doing more current sci-fi, and we talked to a couple of individuals from the 501st last 2 weekends ago, Matt mm-hmm. and I, and when we mentioned what we were doing, one of the Jen that was there that we spoke to, she was kind of interested that we did the classic sci-fis.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a market for both. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
There's also a lot of good sci-fi that is self-published, which libraries don't buy because they usually don't sell through Amazon or anybody else. Michael McCollum is one of those.
Which is
Gibraltar Sun, highly recommended. That's all I'm going to say.
And we could do some of those too sometimes.
Our library won't buy them.
Oh, they're digital downloads to buy?
No, they're paperback books, but you'd buy them direct from the author.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Small press.
Mm-hmm.
Okie dokie.
That's hated.
That'd be a good.
Let me know, and we can
library tip to talk about.
See what I can do to get some in for our library that I can share.
Okay.
Because we'll buy stuff from the personal websites.
Sweet.
So not a problem.
Okay.
And usually I purchase them, donate them to the library, so that could be my contribution.
Sweet.
Oh, but first off, let's get into the things, shall we, gentlemen and ladies? Lady.
No, that's okay. I've been in
that. Oh. The thing from another world. Oh, wait. That's the... Who goes there?
Who goes there?
Well, if I didn't turn the bass or the low EQ up on my voice, I would sound just like a girl. So I get mistaken for it every day at the freaking restaurants.
Sorry.
This is confession time.
You'd be an ugly chick, though.
So thank you.
That helps you feel better.
Thank you very much.
Oh, my gosh.
Moving on.
But the Who Goes There, we mentioned it earlier, it's by John W. Campbell, published. First publication was in 1938. The short story that we read was an anniversary edition, I believe. It was republished in 2009. And it contained the short story as well as a screen treatment by William F. Nolan. I'll be honest, I did not read the screen treatment.
I stuck with the short story. I was going to say, who did?
But it is in there if you purchase it. You can have that as well. It's been a while since I've read this, guys.
Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday.
It really?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Well, Chris, you
I told you I actually liked it.
Okay, cool.
Because I remember as I started reading this book, I noticed like every other sentence that was stated in the book was a question. As I got towards the end of it, I started seeing the book more as a thought experiment that I actually got the idea. I watch Sci-Fi Channel a lot, and that's what they do when they do theoretical physics, is they do a lot of thought experiments to see if something could be true. And that book reminded me, to me, was a thought experiment by an author. What would happen if an alien actually crash-landed on Earth that we discovered? What would happen? You know, how would humans react to that?
And the one thing, it's a little bit different than The Day the Earth Stood Still, because that one took place in D.C., Washington, D.C., but this one took place in Antarctica.
But,
so the desolation adds to that element of...
But there's something in common with both those. Aliens are... I'm gonna guess in the thing, if there was more than one of those, that their mission would be to annihilate human life. And the same thing would have happened in Day the Earth Stood Still. He came here to annihilate it, but then was convinced otherwise. Right? Am I thinking of the right one? With the big silver robot?
Yeah,
that looks
but
like
I don't
Cylon.
Think they came to annihilate it. They gave us an ultimatum.
Yeah, they gave us an ultimatum in that.
To stop using nuclear weapons, or they would attack.
But in the movie's the only thing I saw. But in the movie, something happened that caused those little nanobots or whatever to start going off and eating everything.
Well, you're talking about the recent remake.
Right,
yeah,
with Keanu
Reeves.
It
was a little different, I think. Well, back to what you're saying about that. I don't know if they were the thing. You're just going to have to call it the thing because it's all it's referred to.
Who goes there?
I don't know if it was initially came to Earth to destroy human life because at the time they were talking it crash landed, it was
very
1,000, 10,000 years ago or something like that.
They thought it had
been
here for a long time.
Yeah. Was it 10 or 100,000?
Something like I know it was an extremely long amount of time.
They must have carbon dated part of them.
So they didn't... It wouldn't have been here. Maybe it was on a survey mission, whatever, for it to populate a world. The creatures seem like they're more of take over what the indigenous life is than destroy it. That's the way they survive. And the way it's described in the book, it's an ugly Medusa-looking thingy.
Well, it's a...
Literally.
Shape-changer.
They compared it to a carrot at one point.
That was in the movie.
I think that's the movie.
Was that
the
movie?
Yeah, that's the second version of it.
Holy cow.
Well, the first movie from '51, I think we said it was.
I fell asleep during that.
It was kind of hokey to the book. It was
well. I
it
think was they were trying to capture the whole thought experiment idea,
right?
But you can't quite do that in a movie because it's all dialogue.
No, it's action where a thought experiment's dialogue.
There wasn't
know.
Much action in it other than when the thing was, I'm coming after you.
They could have
that was the only action that was in it. It was kind of boring.
Well, one of the things, I don't know if they came to invade or not. I'm kind of like mad. It never really explained if this was a scout ship and it crashed or something going through and it had troubles and crashed. Or if it was purposely they were coming to invade and this is just something that
well,
crashed.
Well, they theorized in the
So
in
it's
the
an
book.
Innocent alien.
Did they actually...
They were trying to adapt to their
at
environment.
At least the movie version wasn't. And did the alien in the book attack or not? For some reason, I can't remember.
Yes, it attacked.
It did
attack.
It attacked all the dogs.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm talking about attack the humans.
It did get some of the humans, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did a couple of them, I believe.
Yeah, two of them, actually.
To me, how I pictured it is
Are
that
you talking
it
about
was...
At the end, it was... They did figure out which one it was in.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, the guy out
in
the shed.
Remember
they put two guys in a room thinking that it was in one or both of them, and then it attacked one.
Yeah, it was an interesting book. It's a lot more detail in that as to, you know, maybe why the alien was here, why it crashed. Well, the isolation thing is kind of interesting.
I'm going to put somebody on the spot. Who actually read the whole thing?
I did, but it's been like two
Right. Did you read
months.
It?
I didn't get through it
Here's
all.
Here's the thing. Logan if you're did, not into intellectual, I mean, this book is very, I want to say it's very intellectual. It's going to bore you.
Yes. I got to chapter two and I quit.
Yeah.
I could only read one chapter. Like, there were too many big scientific words in it. Like,
it was all questions.
I didn't know what they were talking about.
It did take a little while to kind of get in.
Right.
Get
I will admit, it is very intellectual. Someone has to be into that sci-fi thought experiment kind of book to want to read this.
What's another?
And that's basically what, like Chris said, and I agree with you, Chris. I just don't know if the point I'm curious about is, was it like a recon ship and it crashed and they forgot about it? Or was it just trouble and it crashed and it was just the nature of the beast?
I'm going back to a bunch of different sci-fi films that label a scout and something going wrong with the scout, alien scout, and the thing being violent.
Right, and I agree with that. So it's like...
It was like that in Protector. Protector, they sent out a scout, and it was...
Right.
Well, actually, at the beginning of Protector... Well, let's not talk about Protector. You can go back and listen to Protector. But,
I don't know.
That was one of the...
I can't remember which episode that was.
That's all right.
God, put me on the spot again here.
Use the website to find Protector. It's called Search.
But it's definitely, like you said, it's an experiment about, well, not necessarily even an alien, but it's almost similar to A Stranger in a Strange Land, almost even. Where
yeah, I haven't read that yet.
You put
that
somebody,
will be one of the, that's on my list to review.
Okay. You just basically drop somebody in an
by
environment
Robert Heinlein.
That is just unfamiliar.
Foreign.
And in this case, it's not... The person you're seeing, it's the whole group with the person being not even talked about, where Stranger in a Strange Land, I think, is more about the person within the group.
Well,
so this one is where you definitely get that feeling of, because it's in the Antarctica,
you have to understand, too, this guy was encapsulated for thousands of years. That could have been just his shock.
I would be really ticked off.
Well, if he was actually fully conscious during that time, if he was actually fully conscious during that time.
Finish the thought. Wow.
Go ahead, Logan.
Logan, I can finish the thought for you, because it would be, if I was conscious for the entire time I was frozen, I'd be one ticked off dude when I got out of there.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to say if you guys didn't interrupt me.
We weren't.
Or
we weren't trying
more specifically
to. It just happened.
Broke his mind. He was.
And it doesn't help when people start attacking you when you get out. Like
They didn't. Well, they didn't really attack
that's
him.
That's one of those things where Chris talked about is that experiment. What would you do with a stranger? Because
they had that.
And if... Hmm? You don't know what's going to happen. It's an alien pure... Yeah,
they would sit here and one would ask a question, the other one would contradict that with a different question. You know, it's like, well, what if? Well, I don't know, but what if this? is kind of this back and forth sort of how do we decide logically if what we're going to do next is the right thing to do.
I would have just put them
back. Do we thaw it out or do we don't?
Well, the thing, too, you think about it. In 1931, space wasn't even a thought of going there when this was written.
Actually, space has been in a lot of actually, I don't want to say sci-fi because of genre. Before 1920,
I'd say we'd been.
But Gulliver's Travels talked about building a rocket.
Yeah,
and that was really old book.
Well, you think how long had we actually?
Don't
had...
Don't make me look it up.
How long have we actually had flight when that book was written?
We didn't. That was way before Wright Brothers.
Was it?
Oh yeah.
1931.
No, 1931. I'd have to look. No, the Wright Brothers, I think, were late 1800s, I think.
38.
Sorry, 38.
Go ahead, Logan. Did it have flight and it has helicopters or something in there?
No.
Leonardo da Vinci wanted to build a helicopter. That's
exactly.
How old
that, that's yeah. been around, but we hadn't actually had sustained flight for very long when that book was written.
When was the Wright Brothers? I cannot think of it.
I'm getting it.
No, it's not that important, but... I mean,
but it's like Chris said, Da Vinci thought about flight, Jules Verne, the submarines.
So the thought of an alien and advanced race in 1931 was a really far out concept.
And I don't think it's necessarily a clear cut advanced race, though. It's still got that boogeyman aspect to it.
Yeah, it does.
Like the
it.
Old folk tales, the grim fairy tales and stuff, like don't go out in the dark or the devil will get you type
exactly.
story.
Exactly. It was interesting. And. You know, I didn't get to read it all, but it was very interesting, very
1896, thinking. The Wright Brothers had a glider.
So you're talking 40 years, but we hadn't. That would have been after.
Flight.
Yeah, no, not even probably close to that.
It was after World War I.
Yeah, it was after World War I.
But it was still something that fascinated us.
Yeah. 38, 20s is World War I.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, our brains aren't working quite right tonight.
Apparently not.
Wasn't the book version the only one that was psychic?
If there are any inaccuracies in this podcast, please feel free to email us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. We may or may not read your email on the air.
Really?
Probably not if you're correcting us.
Was there some mental telepathy? I can't remember if it's mental
telepathy. The
long,
book had... telepathic tendencies for the alien. The first movie had hive mind for the aliens.
Yeah, kind of along the same thing. So
nah, the first one's the only one that had the alien actually one creature, even when it was split up. All the rest had it. All the cells are separate creatures.
True.
Yeah, which kind of leads to a hive mind type thing.
True, but not.
Kind of.
I know.
I mean, it's a little weird.
I
kind
of leaning towards Logan on this one because it never really explained it because we don't really get the inside thoughts of the alien per se.
No.
That one's the only hive mind. I know that. True hive mind.
Yeah.
Well, let's kind of get into the movie from 51. Probably one of the most unique things I didn't realize was James Arness, the sheriff from Gunsmoke. Was it Matt Dillon?
Oh, I think so.
Is the actual thing in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of surprising. Of course, if you're just watching the movie,
you'd
it's
have
so
no
overshadowed, you couldn't really see him. Mm-hmm. But when he got his fame, they definitely used that in their marketing schemes to resell these things like crazy.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't even talk. I think he just moans and growls or shrieks. Or
Something like that.
Yeah, it's not like... They would do a audition for that part, would they? So they had to get somebody that already knew
big.
Could act.
That was big. Yeah. Well, this was when he was young, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, this is my part of the thing in the movie.
Pretty
okay,
much.
You're hired.
And this is where Chris talked about the carrots. They're kind of like vegetables.
Yeah.
They equated them to a vegetable.
Wasn't it feeding on blood or something?
Right. In the movie, it would grow with plasma.
Yeah.
Right.
It actually used plasma from your blood to grow, but it actually had to be planted.
But it wasn't like that in the book.
No. The 51 movie is completely different from the
book. It uses kind of the same concept of an alien crashed.
Right.
But they bring the alien,
else.
It thaws out.
Well, they decide to thaw it out. The whole they tried to capture the whole thaw experiment still, but I say they failed.
They get the setting. Nothing else, but they get the setting.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. Right. Everything else from there on, it's kind of a...
The thaw experiment, and they kind of got this in the remakes later on, but it was between science and brawn.
I think April's on strike.
Yes.
Maybe.
No, I'm on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Lord.
Sorry, but go ahead.
Because they went up to I believe it was a U.S. station, Antarctica station.
In the book?
No, in the movie.
In the movie? You assumed it was a military.
Right, because they
flew. They never really said, because they were in uniform.
Right.
The pilots were
But there were other people there.
The scientists, there was primarily
there were civilians there, yeah.
And they were wanting to be, no matter how, well, especially the head scientists, no matter how violent this creature is, we got to protect it. We got to make sure that we study this.
Right.
Where the military people were, no, we just kill it.
We just kill it because it's violent. And it's going
to
kill us.
That was the main question to me in the movie, was science versus military.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it our military today, our military would wrap it up and in containment and study it themselves.
We'd try to
too.
Contain it. Yeah, I agree with that. It falls along the same lines of the military. It's kind of an interesting movie.
Do they, when they remake the thing, do they account for culture and time of the era that it was made?
I think so.
Yes.
Okay. I believe
so. Because you look at some of this 1958 movie. 51. The book was 38. 51 was a movie. Jeez, I'm going to have them backwards the rest of the night. You equate the kind of relationship between the pilot and the secretary of the scientist?
The lead scientist secretary, yes.
There's kind of a sexual tension, I guess, between them.
Well, if you were stuck in a frozen wasteland and only
one woman. There were two women.
Two women.
Oh, okay.
That is correct. There was two. But they smoked cigarettes a lot.
Oh, man.
If that's any indication. It was.
But
that was before they put additives.
True.
Probably it was pure tobacco then. It's an interesting movie. It's kind of hokey. Okay, it's not even kind of. It's a lot hokey by today's standards.
Right, today's standards. If you look at it in the mindset of 51, it's still a B movie, but it's their type of horror back then, really.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, watch Dracula.
There's some comedy. Not probably intentional, but there is some comedy us looking at it.
Well, I think
I'm trying to block the door.
Yes.
That opens out.
Yes, there's
the door opens out. Let's barricade the door from the opposite way it opens.
What is? They spend about 20 minutes hammering these 2x4s into the
planks,
wall,
whatever you want to say it.
Into the door.
To keep the thing from opening the door.
And it opens the opposite direction.
And he's kind of,
oh my God.
He just kind of opens the door and is like, hi. And they're like, okay, whose bright idea was this? Everybody's kind of looks at each other for a second. And right after that, don't they light the room on fire by accident?
It was shortly after that, yes.
I think they tried to light it on fire. And it light the room on fire or something like that. It was just
sort of aside. Yeah. We had to compare all the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, we can.
That's another bad idea.
We talked about doing
even
that.
More boring than this.
We talked.
is not going to be here for that podcast.
We even talked about doing that, like other franchises, especially if they were based on books. Because Planet of the Apes is based on a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but okay, back on track now.
Sorry.
Like I said, our brains aren't quite working tonight.
I watched Rise of the Planet of the Apes for the first time today.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet.
The book
ends up with Hot Poker sticking the alien to figure out with him, but the movie actually uses a Sly Cooper hazard.
Well, it's a different concept of the alien is why.
I'm
talking about how they killed it. They used something from Sly Cooper.
They used electricity.
Yeah, they used something from Sly Cooper.
The electricity net?
Yeah.
They basically fry it with electricity to kill it.
Yeah.
Where the movie... It doesn't, or the book, the doesn't book. Necessarily say they
killed
it
per se,
but they figure
they kind of leave
Do you
it.
I think
they left it open for a sequel.
They did. They don't.
Well, sometimes
say they kill it,
especially back then. The mindset wasn't sequels, but they would leave it open ended so people could write their own conclusion in their head.
Okay,
and that's still done a little bit today. But in 38,
actually,
you know, in today's writing, they're looking to get a book series.
They want a series.
In 38, I think that was just the style that he wanted to end it on and just make people think. Like you said, it was a thought experiment. Make people think.
Right.
It was interesting. And to say, I would definitely say if someone wants a classic, very good, I wouldn't even say, even though it was written in 38, I guess it's classic because when it was written, but it's still a very viable story for today even.
Here's the thing. If you're going to get this book for your library, I wouldn't spend too much money on it because the only people that are going to read it are those who want to read it, who are seeking it.
Yeah, true. And that's kind of the way with all the classics.
Neuromancer is like that.
Most libraries will probably have this to a degree. This one is a little bit odder to find. I think this is a kind of a small trade paperback that I purchased. It was, I believe, 15-ish. I want to say $14.99. So it is, for what it is, there's not much there for the price. But it's the anniversary edition, has that Scream
workup,
whatever it was called.
Play.
I don't know if it's in a collection, possibly. You know, if they do like a greatest science fiction stories type deal, it might be in a collection somewhere. But
you know what?
Yeah, this is one. The book, I would definitely say, you know, if you can find it cheap, go ahead and go for it.
If you got people interested in sci-fi thought experiments kind of type stuff, I would say yeah. If you're very, okay, if you have a large library or patrons coming in that want sci-fi, it'd be an interesting one to give them because they would probably enjoy it and probably don't even know it really exists. And to be honest, man, has been many, many months ago when me and Richard talked about starting this and he said about reviewing all three movies and I went, did you know it was a book? And he went, really?
True. And that's what most people think. They know about it, but they don't realize it was a short story.
Yeah, so. A short story, okay. I want to say that.
I'm going to cheat.
Uh-oh.
This is a genre-reflecting sort of book.
Oh, yeah.
And for those librarians that are out there, this one's called Strictly Science Fiction, A Guide to Reading Interests. It has John Campbell as being part of his core, as being a suggestion for a core collection.
Right. And if we don't have it, and we never did, but like I said, I bought this, I'll be donating it to my library. Most libraries will probably have it. Some of the smaller ones might have weeded it out because of space.
Right. Space and
right.
But your larger libraries will probably have it. This is one that I would say, like Matt was saying, if you have somebody that's into the sci-fi, likes to get into the classics, lead them to this one. It's only, in this edition, 121 pages. Very short.
Yeah, very, very short book.
In this book, they say that that John Campbell Jr. is the father of modern science fiction.
Interesting.
So most of your larger libraries, if not quite a few of your smaller ones, probably will have something of his in there.
Smaller libraries, probably ILL. You know, I'm sure a bigger one's going to have it somewhere.
University libraries will probably have it.
Probably.
Because of that significance.
I would see a lot of drama departments actually studying this book, or this short story. Yeah, because it would be like a...
You know, it would make an interesting short play.
I want to see him turn it into a musical.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Well, get right on that, Chris.
Yes.
No.
Sorry.
So, back to the book. Short story.
Who goes there? The thing. The musical. Sorry. Oh, no. Don't
this
throw anything
crazy
at me.
This little thing called The Thing.
Love. That is a good song. We play that for pep band.
Oh, we hear April again.
That is a
she does
good
speak.
Song.
She is awake.
That part now, will not be cut out. This is the only time that April speaks, so it will stay.
No, it's for the movie.
Well, it was something important, so...
As are we done with the short story segment of that, or do we want to go to the movie now?
Well,
what?
We've been doing the movie, so yeah.
Well, no, I meant like I would say, don't buy this.
Oh, the movie,
the movie itself, the 51 movie. Oh. Yeah, I find it in a cheap bin. I bought it for $6 off eBay. This one actually came from Korea. It's all regions though.
Is that Korean?
Regions. Yeah, it's from
and I was going to ask what it was.
It's not a copy. It's the
real disc. No, it's an actual
real disc.
Real disc. It's a
when you buy stuff on eBay, you got to be careful that it's not a copy.
But it's a all regions disc from Korea, so it is out there.
It came straight from Kim Jong-il. After he died, they sold off his
It came collection. From overseas, yes. It actually did come from overseas.
He was talking about a person, not a country.
True. It did come from. Well, he's dead anyway. So.
Well, that's why they're selling off all his DVDs.
Yeah,
he sold off all his collection. What if you got it from him?
For those who don't know, he has the largest American movie collection in the world.
Yep.
Had. So, I should have checked the envelope.
Should have. Well, you may have a piece of history and not know it. I don't even know. Could you even get that on an ILL? Do you think some
there might
library
be
would have that?
You can get it from Kearney.
Mine will have it. Yeah.
You can get it from Richard's library.
Yeah.
You might have to cut that out, sorry.
Yeah, you can go through and search for it on ILL. Probably in about a month it'll be processed and put in the collection. The reason I did buy this is the regular copy, the English Region 1 copy, was actually twice as much. And I received this. It's a Korean copy, but the regions are none, so it plays in all regions. And it still has, because it's an English movie, it did have the English soundtrack. It wasn't, you didn't have to read subtitles or anything, but it's there if you want to. And it was, like I said, half the price.
Yeah, I'm guessing ILL, if someone's really into science fiction, classic horror movies, maybe.
True.
If not, I'm going to say again, it's really hokey by today's standards.
I'll mention this. I'm sure Matt has seen this and would think Chris has too. But in these scenes, and Logan mentioned earlier that they live off blood or plasma. Chris has mentioned the plasma. And if you remember those seed pods?
Pulsating.
Pulsating? You remember a 70s movie called Body Snatchers?
Yep. I haven't seen Body Snatchers.
Oh, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
Great classic sci-fi.
It was basically on the back here, they have the little garden type deal with the small cocoons. Well, on the Body Snatchers, they have, they're basically, it's almost kind of similar. They take over your body and they are a membranous, kind of a fruitish
alien
type deal,
yep.
Like what this movie is saying.
Makes me wonder.
And it grows, but the pod actually grows into the duplicate of that person.
And destroys you. And in the
process. How does it get the information from the host person?
Basically, they pretty much are, they don't have voice capabilities that I remember. Because they just kind of...
Yeah, it just kind of... It didn't have emotion
so
in the movie, but it's
that's
kind
the
of
sequel
an,
to that.
maybe. Or a readaptation of it.
That could, you know, that could have been the drain. Yeah, it was a drain of thought. Yeah. It swirled down and came back up, I guess. I don't know. It was the grain of thought that we were talking about the book. It just kind of left off open-ended. I can't remember if the movie was open-ended, though.
They destroyed it.
Did they destroy it all?
Yeah, the movie was not open-ended. They destroyed it, and the scientist died who wanted it to live. They never really said whether or not they destroyed the pods. I don't know what you want to call it. Children pods, whatever. I don't know.
They
kind of
left that as an assumption because the fire started in the lab.
True.
So I'm assuming they did destroy it. Them, so, whatever.
It was interesting.
Things. But I think that'll wrap it up for our quick discussion on these two things. Unless, Chris, you got anything else you want to add? And anything else we might add in the next segment as well. But
nope.
Oh, yes. Chris has a soundboard now.
Oh, my Lord.
So next time we'll be discussing the 1982 John Carpenter Thing and the 2011 prequel. The Thing, which is actually a prequel to John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yep.
So please join us. We appreciate you joining us this time. When we will catch you on the next and we will catch you on the next time around.
Bye.
You still recording?
Yeah. Actually, we are.
That's my life right now.
Okay, we might have to leave some of this in. We need to say thank you to MusicAlley.com for providing the intro and outro of Comic Pop Library. Go to MusicAlley.com, check them out. They have a lot of independent artists there that you can download for 99 cents a song. Check them out. You'll find some stuff that you're probably interested in.
Does nobody say bye anymore?
Adios.
Like,
muchachos.
I can see it all so clear.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show host are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.